Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode on Football History, we discuss a very odd play from the 1954 Cotton Bowl game and some of the legendary people associated with the contest and the controversy it stirred. This story and more is coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we're going to look in that portal today and look back to the season of 1953 and how it culminated on the January 2nd game of 1954 at the Cotton Bowl with a very strange instance indeed and a ruling that had a little bit of question to it, raised a few eyebrows. So back on January 2nd, 1954, the annual Cotton Bowl game was played, and the Rice Owls matched their 11 against the formidable Crimson Tide of Alabama. Rice was a powerhouse on the gridiron in that era, and they were the champs of the Southeastern Conference. The SEC was Alabama, and they went up against the top team of the Southwestern Conference, the SWC, the Rice Owls. So SEC versus SWC at the Cotton Bowl. Now, Rice was led by head coach Jess Neely, who was in his 14th season on the Owls sidelines that year. And the Owls were not strangers to the Cotton Bowl, as they played there earlier in the 1953 season in October when SMU hosted them in one of the two defeats of Rice that season. The Mustangs held on and won a thriller there near Dallas, 12-7 over Rice. The other season's L for Rice that year was a heartbreaking home defeat at the hands of number 19 ranked Kentucky in a 13-19 ball game. So on the positive side, Rice opened the season by knocking off number 15 Florida 20-16 and later had wins over rival Texas 18-13. Arkansas, they blew out 47-0. Texas A&M, they really beat them up pretty good too with a score of 34-7. TCU is a close game, 19-6, but Rice prevailed. And Baylor, they really just pounded them 41-19. Their other two victories on an 8-2 campaign were the Cornell Big Red, they beat them 28-7, and Hardin-Simmons College was defeated 28-7 as well. Hence, this impressive team went on to reach the ranking of number 6 in the national rankings that year. Now, quarterback Leroy Fentimaker, he was also their kicker, and leading rusher Dickie Mogul were the offensive stars of the Owls that season. The Crimson Tide, on the other hand, were led by coach Harold Drew in his 7th season at the helm, and Alabama entered the Cotton Bowl ranked 13th as they finished with a 6-2-3 record with losses to number 2 Maryland and an upstart Mississippi Southern in the very first game of the season. They got that little surprise shocker to open their year. The Tides were against LSU, Tennessee, and Mississippi State, so all very formidable foes. And a 6-2-3 record was nothing to be ashamed of with that schedule. The Tide starting quarterback of the year, well, there was a young fellow named Bart Starr. Perhaps you heard of him. Great Green Bay, a Packer quarterback, Hall of Famer in the Professional Football Hall of Fame is Bart Starr. Now, the game started well for Alabama as halfback Tommy Lewis, a big, strong guy, plunged across a goal line for an early 6-0 Tide lead. Now Rice answered the bell in the second quarter when Dickie Mogul scampered and darted his way through the Bama defense on a great 79-yard touchdown run. And Leroy Fenstermaker's kick was true, and the Owls were up 7-6. Took over the lead. Now the Rice defense then thwarted the Tide's offense, and the Owls had the ball back again soon. And this time they were pinned down at their own 5-yard line. Then lightning struck twice, and Mogul knifed his way through to the open field, appearing to be outrunning everybody down the Alabama sideline, as Dickey passed midfield. Running back Tommy Lewis, the one that scored a touchdown earlier for Alabama, came off of the sideline frustrated, without a helmet on, and left the Alabama bench, came out on the field of play, and just buried him with a shoulder pad right into the lower legs, taking the Mogul right to the turf. Dropped the runner Mogul at the Alabama 42-yard line. Now, we have a great footage of this. We have an embedded YouTube video on pigskindispatch.com. So follow the show note here. You can go and watch that video of it. It's pretty excellent, very good. You get to also see Dickey Mogul's first touchdown run, that 79-yarder. Well, as a result of the action, the referee, as soon as he got tackled, was pointing towards the bench because he saw that the Tommy Lewis, the halfback, came off of the bench. Wasn't a substitute. He was a non-player at the time, and definitely illegal. Pointed at the officials, got around with each other and ended up giving the score to Rice on that 95-yard touchdown. He was definitely on the loose. I don't know that anybody was going to catch him, because as you can see in the video, it's pretty evident he was probably going to score. Well, that second quarter tackle of Dickey Mogul on the second long run of the day sparked that controversy in the game, as they were awarded the touchdown. Now, the argument was, it's just a foul, yeah, but they shouldn't be you don't penalize with a touchdown. Well, what do you think the rule is on that today? I'm not exactly sure what the rule was then, but by today's rules, yes, a touchdown could be awarded. If there was such an unfair act that, prevented a team from scoring, just like this was, with him coming off the bench and tackling a guy that's in the clear running down the sideline, well, that could be deemed and warranted to give points to the team that was offended. In this case, they did. They gave Rice the touchdown. Dickey Mogul gets credit for that 95-yard run. The yardage, I believe, went to Dickey Mogul in that game, the extra 42 yards. And, I'm not sure. I'm sure there's a flag thrown on it, too. I'm not sure if they let Lewis back in the game or not. That could have been something in question that may have been questioned today. But I think they got it right. And in the spirit of the rule, yes, the referee can make a decision like that if it's something that's so unjust and unfair. I remember the rules are to provide a fair and level playing field. If you're taking points off the, a team, guy's obviously on a touchdown run, and somebody does an illegal act to prevent him from getting in there, but you can't really prevent him from scoring. That's giving a disadvantage to that offensive team. So I think they got it right and rectified it. And in the aftermath, Mogul ended up scoring another long run from 34 yards out, and another Owls player scored later in the game. And Rice Owls won and beat Alabama at the Cotton Bowl. 28-6 was the final for that game, with that very controversial play inside of it. And we've got the video embedded on our Pigskin Dispatch page. You can go to the show notes and follow the link. It'll take you right there to watch that video. So I hope you enjoyed this little bit of history. That's a little bit of a questionable call, kind of an odd thing in history to witness, and you get to see that great video of it too. It's just unbelievable. You're astonished to see him do that. So watch the reaction of the player, the Tommy Lewis, after he made the tackle. He was sort of pumped about it that he made it, and until he saw that it was costing his team, it didn't really do anything to stop this, to help his team out. It just harmed them. So hope you enjoyed this history. Hope you join us each and every day for more. You can also find my friends over on the Sports History Network. We got about 25 of us over there just churning away, putting podcasts and posts up every single day, sportshistorynetwork.com. And our sister website is jerseydispatch.com, and we have that Sports Jersey Dispatch podcast. I know you've been enjoying it. We've been putting it in the feed of Pigskin Dispatch as well as the sports breaks every day. And we're going to have a couple specials coming up talking about some great old-time baseball. We'll have those to look forward to on the jerseydispatch.com and the Sports Jersey Dispatch podcast. So till tomorrow, everybody, for this podcast, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.